Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti, and I am here in the studio. My good friend Stephen Garchar is on the phone. Are you there, Steve?
Yes, I am.
Awesome. Steve is on the phone, but he will be here shortly.
Good to be with you via technology, Phil.
That's right. We can't have him read any scriptures because he's driving.
That's right.
Anyway, we are here on Sunday evening again to teach God's Word and talk a little bit about interesting subjects that you may or may not hear about at your church. And if you were with us the last 4 weeks, we did a series about divisions in the body. And, of course, we're talking about the body of Christ, the body of Messiah, and the different denominations and the bickering and arguing that goes on. And while we should be united, since we have the same message of salvation, you know,
right,
we've kind of splintered the body into thousands of different pieces, and it's time that has to stop, especially as we get farther and farther into the end times. And, you know, we're bringing in this harvest, you know, this kind of end time harvest. We can't do that if we're talking with 20,000 voices. We need to talk with one voice. And
right,
when we finished up the last show, we did a very powerful scripture from John's gospel, which is commonly called Jesus' high priestly prayer, that they all may be one as you and I are one. And
mm-hmm,
if they're in me and I'm in them, and you know, the world will know that you sent me. And Jesus prayed for unity. And that was the end of that series. And I think Steve would agree that, in fact, he's the one who said, "Wow, I think that ended that series."
Yeah.
And I think if you didn't get a chance to hear the shows, if you go back to the website, which is giftofgraceministries.org, you can listen to those four shows, and especially the last one. And
right,
today we're going to start, and I don't know if this is a series or not, but it's probably going to be at least two shows. Today we're going to start talking about another interesting concept. Speaking of divisions, the division, that's capital T, capital H, capital E, the division in the whole scripture is that's between Jew and Gentile. And I think if you sit back and if you've studied the Bible for at least 7.5 minutes, you realize that everyone in the world is classified as either a Jew or a Gentile.
Exactly.
And it's pretty interesting, since roughly, well, less than 2 out of every 1,000 people in the world is a Jew. It shows you the importance that they have in God's plan,
mm-hmm,
when everyone is either classified as a Jew or not a Jew, even
right,
though there's such a small percent of the world population.
Right.
There may only be about 12 million to 13 million Jews in the whole world, about 8 million or so that live in Israel now. And so this is a very important division. It isn't a division like we were talking about with denominations. It's, of course, an ethnic division. They are a separate ethnic group than Gentiles are. But we're not going to look at that. We're looking at it from a scriptural viewpoint. And since that is a huge division, and since God makes a plan of salvation very early on that spans all of the scripture, the question is, what is his plan for reconciling Jew and Gentile? What is
mm-hmm,
his plan for ending that division? How is he going to bring Gentiles into the kingdom? Because clearly there's lots of Gentiles in the kingdom, including
exactly,
Stephen and I, and a lot of people that we know. There are some Jewish believers in the kingdom, but there are far more Gentiles in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And so clearly the kingdom was not just for the Jews. Messiah was not just for the Jews. That's pretty clear by looking around.
Right.
Go ahead, Steve. You want to add to that?
Yeah. You know, as you're as you're laying out what we're going to talk about, you know, God chose Abraham because he promised that he would make of him a great nation.
Yes.
And this is why it's important to understand and study the Old Covenant, the covenant with Abraham, mm-hmm. The Old Testament, and understand the history of God's plan of salvation, because it shows you basically our family tree, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're grafted into that tree, which
exactly,
is Israel.
Exactly.
And so in God's plan, he chose Abraham. And I think we have to even go back further and understand that the devil rebelled against God. You know, Lucifer rebelled against God and took a third of the angels with him. And he wanted to be worshipped.
Mm-hmm.
And in God's plan, God's going to use the smallest number, the smallest, the weakest, to confound that of the proud,
mm-hmm.
to confound a great number. I mean, you see it all through the Old Testament. The wall, you know, when the wall of Jericho came down, you know, there was, you know, 30,000 men. There was 3,000. Then there were 300. You know, and so God will use these small numbers to fulfill what he wants to do. And we see that with the Jewish people. They were to be a light to the nations.
Yes.
That they were to, when the nations would see them, they would see that God walked with them, and that God was near them, and that their God was the God, you know, God the Most High. Their
yes.
God was the only God that really that mattered. All these other gods were false gods.
That's right.
And that the nations, that they would see this, and they would be a light to these people. Now, being chosen and being human, we can tend to get prideful. You know, I've chosen you, so I want to use you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, really? You want to use? And so we have a tendency as human beings to get proud and then maybe not really fulfill what the plan of God's mission is the way that you know, God designed it to be, in effect. Mm-hmm. Because, in essence, once they started, you know, once God gave them the laws and then they started adding traditions to the laws, you saw that it was burdensome.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus talks about this to the Pharisees a lot. And so this light that they were supposed to be kind of got eclipsed a little bit by
yes.
their own humanness.
Exactly. And you mentioned the traditions. You know, the traditions were added to such an extent that Jesus said to them, your traditions make my word of no effect, because
exactly.
they took people off of the word, which was the Torah, the prophets, mm-hmm. the wisdom literature, the historical literature, all these things that the author of the Hebrews says were types and shadows of Messiah. He's
right.
the substance. These were the types and shadows.
Right.
So when Messiah finally came, and he was, you know, and you bring up the point about a light to the nations, you know, the word nations always refers to Gentiles. And when Mary and Joseph presented little 40-day-old Jesus in the temple, and one of our favorite characters there, Simeon, yeah. held yeah. the baby and said that he was the glory of Israel and a light to the nations.
Yes.
Which was, of course, prophetic in the sense that he was going to be a light to the Gentiles. So
sure.
somehow, even at that point, it was clear that Messiah was also going to bring the Gentiles into the kingdom.
Right.
But like you say, they were the covenant people.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, Gentiles were not covenant people.
Right.
Gentiles, by definition, were unclean. They were ritualistically
right.
unclean. They didn't keep the laws. They didn't have the sign of the covenant, which was the circumcision.
Right.
The Jews were the covenant people. They had the sign of the covenant, circumcision. And there was this wall between them.
Mm-hmm.
And the scripture we're mostly going to use, probably for today and next time, comes from Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm just going to read it since Steve can't read until he gets here. which hopefully won't be too long. But in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul, who you recall was a Pharisee of Pharisees, Hebrew of Hebrews, no one was more zealous for the law than he was. No one was advancing in Judaism more than he was. He was well aware of the separation between Jew and Gentile.
Yes.
So at the time he writes to the church at Ephesus, he, of course, has been ministering to Gentiles for quite a while by this time. And he, of course, now has a solid understanding that Messiah was the fulfillment of the plan of salvation, including the Gentiles. So if you have your Bible, I'm going to just read in Ephesians 2, it's verses 14 to 22. And he says, "For he himself," meaning Jesus, "for he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and he has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity," that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, "so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access to one Spirit, by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore you," and he's talking to Gentiles, "are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." So, wow, there's a lot of stuff there. So all this is done through Christ. So basically, we all know everyone, he talks about enmity. Everyone is in a state of enmity with God, every human being, because we have been separated from him because of Adam's sin, and of course, by our own sin. And, you know, what Steve mentioned, and Steve's here in the studio, by the way. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Phil.
Yay. So now we're reunited. So going back to
See, this is what it's all about.
This is
reunited.
What it's about. Unity.
We were separated at first. Now we're together.
Yes. We should sing Hinei Matov.
Yeah.
So anyway, you know, when the serpent caused the fall, in Genesis 3:15, God says he's going to put enmity between the serpent mm-hmm. and the people. So, you know, we all were at enmity with God because of our sin nature. Now, you mentioned starting with Abraham. Abraham is the father of the covenant people.
Right.
So they were the only people that had a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. They were the only people to have this covenant. The Gentiles were unclean. They could not participate in any kind of worship to God because they could never be acceptable to him.
Right.
The Torah gave so many examples to the people. Don't mix with the pagans.
Right.
Don't mix with the Gentiles. Don't do business with them. Don't live with them. Don't marry them. Don't do anything with them because they will contaminate you.
Right.
And that was the division that went on until Paul's writing this to the Ephesians.
And, you know, I was going to bring that up because, as I was saying, God chose them. And there could be a tendency, you know, to maybe get prideful about that. But at the same time, God did instruct them, don't intermix with the Gentiles because you're going to be unclean.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really God's command telling them not to do that, mm-hmm. you know, to not be intermixed.
Absolutely. They would be.
And, you know, and then Jesus comes along and shares the parable of the Good Samaritan, mm-hmm. you know, where you have two priests coming down the road, they walk onto the other side so that they would not be unclean.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the Samaritan that comes and takes care of the person that was left for dead. And Jesus says he did right.
Mm-hmm.
So he's, you know, he's turning this, really, he's showing them the heart of the law.
That's right, instead of the letter.
Yeah, that this love is more important than, you know, everything hinges on love.
Yes.
Yeah.
But if, when you study Torah, there's something that people don't like to learn about.
What's that?
Gentile Christians don't like to learn about certain things in the Torah. One of them meaning, being that God tells the people, well, when you go into this town, you have to kill everybody.
Oh, yeah.
When you go into this town, you got to kill all the people, all the animals, mm-hmm. or else you're going to be contaminated. Mm-hmm. When you go into the other town, you have to kill people. You don't take anything,
right.
or you're going to be contaminated.
Right.
The emphasis was you can't mix with these people because you will be contaminated.
Mm-hmm.
And they were contaminated because there was always the lure of idolatry.
Right.
So when they went into the land, they saw other gods, they saw temples, they saw people worshiping other gods. They were drawn to that. And this is why this was there. They were ritualistically unclean.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't mix with them.
Right.
And in some cases, it's a horrible thing to say. It was better to kill them than to mix with them.
Well, you see what would happen if at times where they left some of their property or a person.
Yes.
Where it would, in history, you would mm-hmm. see that, oh, they left that person, mm-hmm. they let that person live, and they came back to turn
yes,
on the nation of
that's
Israel.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, you can read through a lot of books that do that. First right. and Second Samuel, and there's even some Jews who believe that Hitler was descended from the Amalekites, who they were supposed to kill, but they didn't kill them all.
Mm-hmm.
And so Haman in the book of Esther was an Amalekite.
Right.
And some people think Hitler was also an Amalekite because mm-hmm. these people came back right. to war against the people. But
yeah.
we don't talk about that. So there were two different kinds of people. One was acceptable to God, one wasn't. Now, does that mean that God didn't love the Gentiles? No, he loved them, but they were ritualistically unclean.
Unclean, yep.
There was a partition, literally, between the two. There was a wall. And had you gone to the temple, and as a Gentile, you could have gone there and said, hey, I just want to see what's going on here. You would have been in a part of the temple called the Court of the Gentiles. You would not have been allowed in where the worship was going on
mm-hmm.
because there was a partition. There was a separation. There was a wall between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul says that this wall was the commandments and the ordinances. In other words, it was the law.
Right.
The law of Moses was the wall, and it was the ceremonial law was the division. And so this is the Jews had it, the Gentiles didn't have it. The Gentiles didn't have the covenant. The covenant, as Steve likes to always teach about, is this intimate relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have to talk about that when Paul's done singing.
Yeah.
Wow. First break already. Anyway, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back in just a minute.
I'm upon the throne for blessing and honor to our God forevermore. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. And take your place on your throne, Jerusalem. We join our hearts together. We come in one accord. The bonds of peace unite us in the Spirit of the Lord. He'll clothe us with salvation. Robes of purest white, the body of Messiah, we are precious in your sight. Even so, Yeshua. Come and take your place.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. That was Paul Wilbur singing. Remember, go to wilburministries.com and buy everything. But in a couple of months, he will be here in the Cleveland / Akron / Columbus area. We'll give you more information.
Columbus?
Because you definitely want to come and see him.
Oh, boy.
Yes, I am mailing him a map of Ohio to put up in his office. Because I tried to explain to his son Nathan, who is my favorite nephew, that just because two cities are both in Ohio doesn't mean they're 5 minutes apart. And I used the example of if I came to Jacksonville and said, well, we'll just go to Jacksonville in the morning and then we'll do something in Miami in the afternoon. I mean, after all, they're both in Florida.
Would that be a problem?
I think so. So anyway, enough of that. So you have this gap between Jews and Gentiles, and this is so important because the Jews don't have the relationship. The relationship of the Israelites is based on law.
Mm-hmm.
It's a measure of righteousness, how well you follow the law.
Right.
The Gentiles didn't have the law. So Paul says these laws were the wall between them. Gentiles are outside the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Unclean, outside the covenant. Can't be acceptable to God in the same way that the Jews can because they have the covenant.
Right. You know, in Scripture it tells us, you know, those who did not know me would know me, and those who did not seek me would seek me.
That was awesome. My favorite major prophet, Isaiah.
Well, so, you know, as you're, what was I going to say here, is as you're talking about this wall of separation, it was very distinct because there was no, you know, there was sacrifice in the temple for the for the forgiveness of sins,
mm-hmm.
but there wasn't the atonement for sin that Christ Himself was going to pay the
price. That's the key.
That's the key. And so all of this, as you say, the types and shadows are all there, and this took place. You know, the family would procure a lamb and they'd have to take it to the temple and slaughter it. And then if, you know, they sinned on the way back home,
go get another lamb.
We shouldn't laugh about that.
No, it's serious business.
But it's, you know, it's true because it would happen. So there's that separation that was preeminent,
mm-hmm.
that existed.
Yes.
And it was, you know, God is all holy. And if you've ever been in the presence of the Lord or felt the presence of His Spirit and just been overcome by the holiness of God, I think anybody who's ever experienced that would understand.
Yes. You don't need words to.
Yeah. And it's really difficult to describe because if you haven't encountered that, I don't think you can really understand that separation there, that you can't intermix with these people because you're going to be defiled.
Yeah.
I don't think you can understand the separation from God that Jesus experienced when he was on the cross and said, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Yeah.
And, you know, we have to understand that Jesus was with God for all of eternity.
Mm-hmm.
He surrendered his glory to come and be a man.
Yeah.
And then die on the cross.
Yeah.
And in that, he didn't sin, but he experienced the wages of sin.
Mm-hmm. For everyone.
For everyone. And now, we haven't been with God from eternity and experienced his glory. So we can't understand what that's like.
No. We get glimpses of it.
We get glimpses.
Or a feeling here and there.
But to have that for all of eternity and then to be separated from it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I think on a much lower scale than that, because of course we can't be in that scale.
Right.
But on a much lower scale than that, most of you have probably had the experience of you had a life before you knew Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So you had a certain group of friends, you went to certain places, you did certain things, you did But then afterwards, you said, you know, I don't really want to hang around with so-and-so anymore, and I don't really want to go to those places anymore, and I don't really want to go do that stuff anymore. And you find yourself hanging out with people who are believers, who mm-hmm. go to church, who like to do praise and worship, who like to do Bible studies,
and
you say,
groups.
And home groups, and you say, I think I like this a lot better than going with Joe over there back to that place I used to go before.
Yeah.
And it's, you can be contaminated.
Mm-hmm.
But you hit the nail on the head with this when you're talking about what was going on the cross, which, as I always say, if you don't think about the cross 20 times a day, you don't get what happened there.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul, in that passage that I read from Ephesians 2, says he abolished that enmity in his flesh. Now, that's very profound, because he does this. Jesus the Messiah does this. This is how the wall of partition is torn down. It's not an agreement between a couple of head rabbis and a couple of chief Gentiles to say, okay, well, from now on, we're all going to be ritualistically clean and we're all going to get along. We're all just going to get together and be one big happy family.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's done through him only. And Paul says he abolished that in his flesh. So the sacrifice of his flesh, the blood sacrifice that you're talking about, you know, the writer of the Hebrews says the blood of bulls and goats doesn't have any power to take away sin.
Right.
You know, that's, you know, again, that's a type, that's a shadow. The high priest had the animal blood.
Mm-hmm.
But now with his blood, the sufficiency of his blood, of his sacrifice,
mm-hmm.
he's the fulfillment of all that.
Right.
He becomes the substance. He's the fulfillment of the law, the fulfillment of that whole system. And this is what forms the church, because now through him, Jew and Gentile come together. He unites people under him in his body
mm-hmm.
because of his sacrifice.
Right.
The plan of salvation applies not just to the covenant people, the Israelites, to Gentiles, us as well, because as the substance of all these things, Paul says he makes peace between the two. So now the formerly unclean, ritualistically unclean Gentiles who couldn't have a relationship with God, now both Jew and Gentile have access to him because of what Messiah did.
Exactly.
Once for all.
That's
he doesn't,
right.
not going to do it again. It was once for all.
Mm-hmm.
And that wall that Paul talked about, that partition, which was the Mosaic law, was broken down, and he makes them one. And this is the one new man that Paul talks about, because now you have Jew and Gentile coming together as one new man. And this is only done by Messiah. It's only done by the sacrifice on the cross. It's only done by his blood, because then all the sins are paid for. All the sins are covered of both people. And you bring up a good point. Just because the Israelites were covenant people didn't mean they weren't sinners.
Mm-hmm.
There was plenty of sin to go around with the Israelites, just like there was with the Gentiles.
Exactly. We're human, and we suffer in that human condition of being imperfect, and we all fall short of the glory of God.
Amen.
That's why we need a Redeemer.
Amen.
And we sin. You know, we can get on each other's nerves
mm-hmm.
as much as we may try not to. We can say things that hurt each other.
Can we sing Hinei Matov instead?
I think we should.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there needs to be reconciliation. You know, scripture tells us a humble, contrite heart, O Lord, you will not spurn.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And so, If we have that humble and contrite heart, are we gonna seek out divisions and go, hey, I want to tell you about this because I'm right and you're wrong.
Yeah.
And we diminish that whole, everything that Christ accomplished on the cross. We can diminish it greatly by our division.
Yes.
You know.
We talked about that the last few shows.
By putting back up the wall of separation.
Right. We build the wall back up.
There's people that want to do that.
Yes.
Unfortunately. And Christ came and just you know, tore that all down.
Mm-hmm.
Because his blood, you know, he purchased my soul at the price of his own blood. He purchased your soul at the price of his own blood.
Peter says we've been bought at a price.
We've been bought at a price. And in, you know, we can't pay the price.
Mm-hmm.
We can't even purchase it.
That's
no
right.
sum of money can buy it.
Because by that suffering and death, that blood sacrifice, he took away the condemnation that's due to us by the law,
mm-hmm.
the bondage that the people had to the law. And we talked, you know, many times before how the law, and this we have to always say, we have to always add, because, you know, the word law has a bad connotation to a lot of Christians. Unless you're the older brother, but you know, it has a lot of, but we have to understand the law was not the problem. The problem was that we couldn't keep the law.
Exactly.
The law came from God. The law was holy, but we couldn't keep the law. But the law doesn't have a remedy for our situation. It can't mm-hmm. fix you.
Exactly.
I mean, law can't fix you.
Right.
I mean, no matter what you do, if you observed every single law perfectly for some long period of time, you would still have a sin nature. It doesn't fix you,
mm-hmm.
and it brings condemnation when you violate part of it.
Exactly.
So it stands over you with, oh, you did this wrong. Mm-hmm. Oh, you did this wrong. And that's not to minimize that, because it's sin is serious business. It's a violation of God's mm-hmm. law. It's rebellion against the law. But it only brings condemnation. It can't change you.
Right.
It can't transform you.
Right.
So the Pharisees tried the best they could to keep the law,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't transform their heart, as we see.
Right.
And if
right.
you read Matthew 23, you can do that for your homework. It's pretty, pretty amazing. But grace that now comes through this sacrifice changes the whole dynamic,
mm-hmm.
because now grace is totally different.
Right.
And grace is actually what brings down the separation.
Yes.
Which brings down the wall, because mm-hmm. he was the fulfillment.
It's, you know, God's forgiveness is really, it's unmerited. It's unmerited by on our part. We can't earn God's forgiveness.
Right.
Because if we could, it wouldn't be a free gift.
Right.
It wouldn't be mercy.
Right. It would be a wage.
It would be a wage. I mean, you know, we talk about God's mercy because forgiving someone is comprised of them not even asking for it,
mm-hmm.
but myself saying, I choose to forgive Phil.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't do anything, by the way. I'm just using you as an example.
I'm sure if you thought it for a while.
Oh, yeah, there was. No.
Yeah, sure. There was that one time.
So I choose to forgive you. And you go, but I didn't. But it, now, if you said, but what did I do, then we might have a different conversation.
Listen here, you.
No, I mean, if we were at odds with each other and, you know, you knew what you did and I knew what you did and you know what I did, and I said, mm-hmm. you know, I forgive you. And you go, I didn't ask for forgiveness. Well, I know, but I forgive you anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's mercy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that's what God, through Jesus, does for us.
Mm-hmm.
We still have to accept the Lord as our Savior. We still have to, you know, the wages of sin is still death.
It's still death.
That does not change.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing that changes is God's grace is now present through Jesus.
Yes.
And if the, you know, if we allow the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts mm-hmm. and renew us and transform
mm-hmm.
us,
mm-hmm.
God's gonna transform us into the image and likeness mm-hmm. of His Son.
Yeah. And the contrite heart you mentioned is so important. I mean, Psalm 51 is so awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Because there has to be repentance.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go around arrogantly saying, oh, yes, I'm a believer, so whatever I do, hey, everything is going to be cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's not scriptural
at all. Right.
There has to be repentance.
Right.
And grace is the key, because it's unmerited favor. You don't mm-hmm. deserve the forgiveness.
Right.
Because you deserve hell, but you get heaven.
Yeah.
You deserve justice, but you get mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's all done because of the cross, because he was the fulfillment. You know, he says, I've not come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill it. So everything was fulfilled in him.
Right.
The law, the observances, the rituals, and through him, he makes one body. And the interesting thing, too, that you bring up about the Spirit is the Spirit, of course, comes in and renews the whole body, Jew and Gentile.
Right.
Because when you accept him as Messiah, you repent of your sins, you understand what happened on the cross, you say, I'm following now. The Spirit comes in and dwells you, Paul says in the book of Romans.
Right.
And the Spirit renews the whole body, not mm-hmm. just your body, little b, but the whole right. body, big B.
Right.
And it doesn't matter if you're a Jew, if you're a Gentile.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you're Swedish or Chinese. It doesn't matter what language you speak. If you're in the body, as a true believer, the Spirit is going to dwell in you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is true of Jewish believers as well, obviously,
right.
because God doesn't have two plans of salvation. There's not two covenants. There's not two ways to heaven.
Right.
You know, some people say, well, you know, the Jews have their own covenant. So if they do that, and the Christians, well, they got a different thing.
Yeah. They don't understand.
The plan is the same. There's not two paths to salvation because Paul says he makes one from the two.
Exactly.
One people he makes from the two. So he gets the ceremonial law out of the way. He gets all the old traditions of the Pharisees and all that other stuff that was added mm-hmm. out of the way because everything is fulfilled in him. And there's reconciliation not only between Jew and Gentile, but between mankind and God.
Exactly.
Because that's the big separation
exactly.
that we talked about at the beginning. So there's one body of Messiah, and it says he made peace between them.
Exactly. Exactly. Because, you know, there was the old covenants. There were the covenants with Moses, with Abraham, mm-hmm. and they're all covenants. They're all, you know, they're all eternal.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus ratifies the new covenant and fulfills the covenants by his own body and blood.
Mm-hmm.
He ratifies new covenant in his own blood. You know, a covenant was always sealed in blood.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so by Jesus ratifying the new and eternal covenant in his own blood, you can't dismiss the new covenant.
That's right.
Because if you dismiss the new covenant and you want to go back to the types and shadows,
yes.
what have you done?
Yes.
You know, you can't, if you want to go back to we're Jews, you're Gentiles, or we're Gentiles and you're Jews, that type of thing,
mm-hmm.
then you don't understand the gift of salvation.
That's right.
You can't.
Because if you have the substance and you say, we have Yeshua the Messiah as our Savior, we've got that, but, you know, the types and the shadows are way more fun. We really like the types and the shadows better. So let's go back and just do the types and the shadows.
Mm-hmm.
We got Jesus, but let's do the types and the shadows. Then you're not following the plan.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with learning about the types and the shadows. I love celebrating
right.
the feast days.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve does too. And maybe this year I'll even build a sukkah. I don't know. My wife keeps saying we should build one. Maybe have a home group.
Do you have to get a permit for that?
Probably. But anyway, if you don't know what a sukkah is, you have to take my Torah
strike
class.
Strike that from the record.
Yeah, strike that from the record. But the issue is, like the writer to the Hebrews says, if you neglect such a great salvation, then what do you have left?
Mm-hmm.
If you go back into the law and say, I've got to do the law, then you got to do the law. You know, Paul says, well, if you insist on circumcision, then you got to do the whole law.
Yeah.
And Jesus came as the fulfillment of all of that.
Exactly.
And this is how he makes the peace. This is how he gets rid of the enmity between the two groups.
Mm-hmm.
He's makes one body. He's the head. The Spirit renews the whole body. And you have right. the plan of salvation actually that's unfolded through the whole scripture comes to fruition where you have the kingdom. And it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, male or female, Greek or Roman or whatever you are. If you're in the kingdom, you're in the kingdom.
Yeah. You know, the gift of God's Spirit fell upon the Gentiles just as it did on the Jews at Pentecost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh. The Beautiful Bride. Oh, this is a very appropriate song. We'll talk more about this Holy Spirit falling
upon
Jesus.
Remember, check out our website at giftofgraceministries.org. We're going to listen to the song and be back in a minute.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. I love that song.
Oh, yeah. Your great name.
We should, yes. I never could remember the name of it, but it's your great name. Go to liberministries.com and order it.
The CD is Your Great Name.
Yes.
And that's the name of the CD.
If we did a series on The Bride, I think it would take at least like 28 shows. At least. But getting back to this separation, getting the wall of partition, you know, that the important thing too for us to remember is that, and I made reference to it a little while ago, the wall of separation is also between human beings and God because we're sinners. And that the cross, of course, breaks that down. Mm-hmm. The cross satisfies God's wrath. And as Paul says, you know, he makes peace. Because we know, especially from the book of Romans, which I think is my favorite book, if you go in Romans chapter 3, like 19 to 22, somewhere around there, it talks about how we have a righteousness apart from the law now, which comes from God, and that's because of the cross. So even though we may not follow the covenant of law perfectly, we have a righteousness that's apart from that because of the cross. So, and that's in Romans, of course, 3, 19 to 22. So now we have access because, as the writer to the Hebrew says, Jesus went through the veil as the eternal high priest.
Yes.
And he breaks that partition down too.
Exactly.
Now the high priest, you know, going through the veil once a year with the blood. And the writer says, you know, the blood of bulls and goats doesn't take away sin. You know, that's kind of silly. It's animal blood. Right. But Jesus went through the veil with his own blood. And reconciles us to God.
And really, if the blood of Jesus, or if the blood of bulls and goats did reconcile things with God, then Jesus wouldn't have had to die on the cross.
That's right.
You know, it was, it was not the perfect it was not the fulfillment of the sacrifice.
That's right. Good point.
You know, and you mentioned the book of Hebrews in chapter 3, he says, you know, but he is worthy of more glory than Moses, as the founder of a house has more honor than the house itself.
Right.
Every house is founded by someone, but the founder of all is God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he talks about Moses being a faithful servant, but there's that warning that of Israel's infidelity. that says, oh, that today you would hear his voice and harden not your hearts as at the rebellion in the desert of testing in the desert, in the day of testing at the desert, when your ancestor tested me and tried and saw my works for 40 years. Because of this, I was provoked with that generation. And I said, they have always been of erring heart and they do not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. You know, so that hardness of heart and that rebellion enter in, and, you know, the devil wants to keep us separated.
That's right.
He wants to bait us with the bait of offense.
Mm-hmm.
That's offensive to me.
He's a great accuser.
Oh, he's a great accuser. Accuses the brethren day and night.
Oh, day and night.
He never stops.
He doesn't have to sleep. He does it without shame. Yeah.
And, as we're talking about the types and shadows and the fulfillment of the new covenant and Jesus breaking down this barrier that existed between Jews and Gentiles, our heritage is important, but it means nothing without the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right.
You know, whatever your heritage is, whatever your descent is, whatever your nationality is,
mm-hmm.
that's important. Mm-hmm. Your culture is important. But it means it comes to nothing
right.
without Jesus Christ.
That's right. And this is the whole reconciliation that we're talking about among people, between people. And the Jews, the Israelites as the covenant people, didn't mean that they weren't sinners.
Right.
You know, in the book of Romans, which is definitely my favorite book.
Is that your favorite book?
It is. And again in chapter 3, and it's in verse 9, you know, he talks about how Jews and Gentiles are equally guilty of sin. You know, mm-hmm. it's not like, well, you guys over there in the land, you're my covenant people, so I just know you guys are never going to sin. Well, you know, when you read the whole Tanakh, every time you turn the page, there's some other rebellion going on. Every
right.
time you turn the page, there's rebellion, there's idolatry, there's, you know, the people are falling short because, like you said earlier, they're human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the blood of Jesus through the veil breaks down all of this.
Yeah.
Because also in Romans is so awesome. Paul talks about how there's true Israel.
Yes.
Because there's Abraham, and Abraham was awesome, and he obeyed, and it was counted as righteousness. You know, he had mm-hmm. faith, and it was counted as righteousness. Whole thing, we're not going to go through all of Romans, because we already did that. But Paul points out that we are spiritual children of Abraham if we believe in Messiah,
yes.
if we follow Messiah, if we repent of our sins and come into the kingdom. True Israel is not just the people who are biologically related to Abraham, because a lot of them are sinners.
Mm-hmm.
But Gentiles come in too, because after all, the last promise God made to Abraham was all the communities of the earth would be blessed through you.
Yes.
You know, salvation is not hereditary.
Right.
You know, it doesn't go through the bloodstream. You know, it doesn't, you know, if your father is a rabbi and his father was a rabbi and his father was a rabbi, that doesn't mean you're right. going to have salvation.
Right. I mean, you bring up an excellent point that really needs to be brought out, is that all the nations will be blessed through you.
Yes.
Not just some.
Right.
And here we are. You know, God's word is eternal, and it does not return to him void.
That's right.
But it bears the
yes.
fruit that he, you
yeah.
know, for when he speaks it bears the fruit that when it comes back to him. You know, and even Abraham, he trusted in God. It was credited to him as righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
But when he was, you know, when Sarah and him were both old,
mm-hmm.
they were supposed to have a child.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of took it upon himself, you know, to have a child with his, you know,
Hagar,
his maidservant.
So he wanted to hurry the plan along.
Yeah. So, you know, that's an example of our human nature. We want to hurry God's plan along, and we run ahead of God, and then we go, ooh,
mm-hmm.
should I have done that?
Yeah.
And then it's too late.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's a real lesson to us as believers. Mm-hmm. You know, we have all this history of all the prophets, of all the covenants. Abraham didn't have all that.
That's right. And like we said before, the other interesting thing about Abraham, Paul talks about in the book of Romans, is Abraham didn't have the law.
No.
There was no law until 400 and some years later.
And it was credited to him as righteousness.
It was credited as righteousness. He believed, he followed, he obeyed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want you to do this. Okay. Hineni, here I am.
Yeah.
Every time he called out Abraham, he said, Hineni, here I am.
Yeah.
And although we as Gentiles are grafted into the tree, we actually become spiritual children of Abraham. If we have faith, if we believe, if we follow, we're just like Abraham was.
Exactly.
Even though we don't have his genes, we don't have his blood in us like, say, your Jewish neighbor mm-hmm. does.
Right.
But if we're following Messiah, we're included in that family.
Right. You know, we're covered under the blood of the Lamb because we come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah.
Amen.
And so we're spiritually adopted children of God. We're grafted in. And, you know, Scripture tells us we have all the rights and privileges
mm-hmm.
as a natural born son.
That's right. That's awesome.
You know,
that's in Romans 2. So the whole point of that whole passage from Ephesians, now Ephesians is rapidly becoming a favorite
book. Oh, boy.
That whole thing from Ephesians is not only are Jews and Gentiles reconciled, but we're all reconciled to God because of the cross.
Exactly.
Woo! The end of the show.
Hallelujah,
well,
brother.
Well, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that the gift of the Holy Spirit would just fill your heart and your soul with the knowledge of God's love for you and the gift of Jesus and the salvation that is offered by his cross, by his blood, his life, death, and resurrection. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.